Hello, it's Debbie, back on a Wednesday, August 12th, reading from the website for the Herald Review, Decatur Herald and Review, on Wednesday, August 12th, part one, starting with County Zoning Panel Gives Approval to Wind Farm. This is by Ryan Voiles, who's the staff writer for the paper, Decatur. Soon, the wind across the northern fields of Macon County could provide millions in new revenue. The Macon County Zoning Board of Appeals unanimously supported a plan at a special meeting Tuesday that would allow Twin Forks Wind Farm, a subsidiary of E.ON, the American unit of Germany's largest utility company, to construct and operate up to 140 wind turbines across the northern part of the county. Under the special use permit, the wind farm will operate in Macon County for 30 years with an estimated $46 million of new tax revenue generated over the life of the project, with much of it going toward the Maroa, Forsyth, and Warrensburg-Latham school districts. Twin Forks will be part of this community for a long time to come, said Michael Blazer, an attorney representing Twin Forks. We want to make absolutely sure we get on the right foot and they start being a good neighbor and good corporate citizen, and that it continues through the life of the project. In addition to the farm and turbines, the project would include an overhead transmission, a collector substation, and a switching station, operations and maintenance facility, and temporary staging, laying down equipment and preparing the concrete. Lines will not be placed within 1,500 feet of any residence. Energy generated by the wind warm by the wind farm would go into the PJM interconnection, a massive grid spread throughout 13 states in the Midwest and East. E.ON would still need to acquire a road use agreement. Officials said Tuesday they plan to study the roads in the targeted area to guarantee they remain at least in their current condition and that extra traffic does not impede farm operations. Before the board's vote Tuesday afternoon, nearly 8 hours were spent with a comprehensive breakdown on the planned construction and operation of the wind farm, its economic impact, and the long-term plan for E.ON's operation of the farm. E.ON's is spelled capital E, period, O-N, apostrophe S, E.ON's. A standing room only crowd in the Macon County office building listened and took notes as more than a dozen residents asked questions about how the wind farm could impact local property value and about the perceived noise issues that come with turbines. With the Zoning Board's recommendation, the plan now heads to the county's Environmental Education, Health, and Welfare Committee, which is set for August 20th. If approved there, the plan is expected to be voted on by the full board at its September meeting. End of that article. In local news, GT Church turns love into powerful community action. This article is provided by Teresa Churchill, a staff writer for the paper, Decatur. God's love is a life preserver. That has been true for members of GT Church since their pastor died in a motorcycle accident nearly 2 years ago. But it will also be true for countless witnesses to the work the congregation is doing in the community this week in memory of the Reverend B.G. Nevitt. Among them is Mildred Browning, 76, who lost both legs to diabetes and whose overgrown yard and weathered front porch and rear deck on Tuesday were getting some much-needed TLC. Thank God they're here, she said. Browning was referring to a crew of a dozen or so people who, in turn, are among more than 400 from the church who are working on projects throughout the community as part of the Second Love Week, designed in part to channel their grief as the anniversary of Nevitt's death on August 17th 2013 approaches. The first event saw about 200 Excuse me. The first event saw about 200 volunteers partnering on projects with the Galloway Park Neighborhood Association and Old King's Orchard Community Center, and 1 year later, it's more than twice that size. We had two choices, the Reverend Matt Samuels said. The church could cease to exist, or we could come together and grow stronger. The congregation chose the latter, and this year is doing maintenance on five houses near the church and sprucing up the nearby Galloway Park. Farther afield, volunteers are redecorating visiting rooms at Lutheran Child and Family Services, delivering meals to Decatur firefighters, and flowers to Doves Incorporated Domestic Violence Center, shelter, and helping First Christian Church give free school physicals on Saturday. Chris and Kelly Ellis are devoting their week to help others and to set an example for their three children. I won't go to bed without saying my prayers, said Ashlyn Ellis, 8. Mom and kids baked cookies Monday for a community giveaway, and Tuesday the whole family joined a multi-generational crew that removed graffiti and waist-high weeds from playground areas at Galloway Park before spreading mulch provided by the Decatur Park District. Cameron Cooper, 10, said he braved spiders while cleaning the park's restrooms, but left the three hornet's nests he found for the adults to deal with. Jermaine Bollinger, pastor of worship at GT Church, said Love Week blesses participants and recipients alike. It feels good to do things for people, he said. It might be the only good thing they see today. And continuing with local, hundreds hit Convey Job Fair. This is by Chris Lisbardi, also a staff writer for the Herald and Review. Decatur, Robin McCoy was hoping that those attending the Convey Health Solutions Job Fair at Richland Community College on Tuesday were prepared for the opportunity before them. Job seekers have been filling the computers in the Workforce Investment Solution Office in Decatur in the past week, preparing their resumes in anticipation of the event, said McCoy, the agency's executive director. Florida-based Convey Health announced last week plans to hire more than 300 employees from the Decatur area to establish a new office at the 1505 West King Street in Fairview Park Plaza. Convey Health is a healthcare technology solutions and customer service business, which provides support for some of the country's best-known insurance companies. We knew we had the candidates and the skill sets here, McCoy said. It shows by the number of individuals who showed up. They're ready to go to work. Hundreds of job applicants filled the National Sequestration Education Center waiting for a chance to interview with some lining up outside by 6:30 a.m., said Ryan McCrady, Economic Development Corporation of Decatur and Macon County President. The event didn't officially start till 10 a.m. It continues from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. today, with shuttle services available from the main Richlands lots if parking fills up at the National Sequestration Education Center building. Job seekers have been encouraged to bring copies of their resume, dress professionally, and be prepared for an interview. Interested people can arrive at 9 a.m. to begin the application process as volunteers from organizations such as SCORE and Workforce Investment Solutions staff are assisting in running the job fair. I've been impressed by what we see from the folks showing up, McCrady said. The company's moving quickly. This is the first big step. Those selected to move ahead in the application process can expect to receive callbacks in the next few days. The next step is the process is assessing applicants' math and English skills, with McCoy saying Richland is making 60 computers available to assist in that part of the screening. The goal is to have 300 people hired and have training for the Decatur Center starting in early September, said Reggie Holt, Convey Health Vice President of Human Resources. We want to make sure everyone is prepared to take that first call, Holt said. Holt was impressed to see the hundreds of applicants interested in positions with the company. McCoy plans to continue helping the company until all its positions are filled and it's ready to begin operations. We're well on our way, Holt said. They told us it would be like this. They delivered on that. This experience has been second to none. It puts us in a position to select the best candidates. Those who meet the minimum qualifications of having a high school diploma or GED can expect to be interviewed, Holt said. Some of the positions are considered entry level, but McCrady said that gives the employees a chance to work their way up within the company. You don't just get hired in as the operations manager, McCrady said. You can work your way up within a company with experience and start on a career path. The positions the company intends to fill include receptionists, operation managers, operations supervisors, site directors, member services representatives, IT support service specialists, trainers, membership accounting and analysts, and human resources. Holt said some of the applicants are coming in with more job experience, having worked in the Star Trek office before it closed in 2012. We knew right away this was a good fit, and it can today confirmed that, Holt said. The 300 jobs is just the start. If it all goes as planned, that number grows. The company anticipates having the number of jobs approach 500 by the time it reaches full capacity. End of the article. Next, Sangamon Valley officials have new job, new goals. This is by Valerie Wells from Herald and Review. Niantic. Most of the faces are familiar, but many job titles have changed. Sangamon Valley's former superintendent, Ernie Fowler, left in June for a position in Nashville, Illinois. The school board named Robert Bob Meadows, Sangamon Valley High School principal, as his replacement. Of course, that left the principal's position open, and Jonathan Field, who was previously the middle school principal, was moved to that job. Cody Trigg was moved to the middle school principal from his position at Sangamon Valley West, the elementary school in Heliopolis. Fifth grade teacher Brian Britton was hired to be principal for that school. And when Jill Reedy left her position as principal at Sangamon Valley East, the elementary school in Hampston, teacher Valerie Gendron was named principal to that post. One of the things I'm going to try to do with the board is improve the facilities, Meadows said. We can utilize the Macon County sales tax money to do that and try to relieve some of the burden off taxpayers. The budget cuts and cuts in personnel that Ernie Fowler did, that he started 7 years ago, has put us in a position to be able to do that. Remodeling has begun on the high school library with new paint and carpet and additional computers to make it more of a media resource center. With 16 computers, 25 Chromebooks, and a new librarian, Erica Bryan, Meadows said the library should be an inviting place. The school board had met in the library, Meadows said, and their meeting area will now be freed to our students. In addition, there are plans to remodel two classrooms in the middle school and put tile in the chorus room. The middle and high school buildings are about a century old, Jandrin said. Remodeling and repairs are all the district can afford, even with the sales tax revenue. Field's plans are to revamp the curriculum in the high school with an eye toward the best preparation for students for college and career in a small school. He said, it's more difficult to offer a wide variety. Oh, let's reread that. I forgot where one ended and the other one started. Field's plans are to revamp the curriculum in the high school with an eye toward the best preparation for students for college and career. In a small school, he said, it's more difficult to offer a wide variety of courses. Middle school students will have greater access to technology thanks to a Monsanto grant secured by Trigg's efforts. He hopes the $6,500 will be enough for 30 iPads to be kept on two carts and shared among middle school classes. End of that article. And lastly, in the local news section, alternative education celebrates homecoming, in quotes. This is by Valerie Wells from H&R. Decatur. Now that Decatur's two high schools are finished with renovations, Stephen Decatur Middle School is moving back to its Mound Road location over the summer. The former Decatur Area Technical Academy building on El Dorado and Jackson will now be known as the Alternative Education Center, a return to its previous function. The building itself looks like an alternative education building, said Rocky Wilkerson, Executive Director of Adult Education, Decatur School. It has options, which is good. It's really the best kept secret in Decatur. Decatur Public Schools are educating pre-K through 12, but there's also an outlet to assist families who need it just as much as kids. The Regional Office of Education has operated the downtown Macon Pyatt Adult Education Center for years, but that closed at the end of May, leaving the downtown area with no outlet for adults who need a GED or other help improving skills. Richland Community College offers those services. And Decatur Schools Education and Training Center has been at Hickory Point Mall for 8 years. We're used to having three options. Now we're down to two, Wilkerson said. That's a loss for our area. Well, the emphasis used to be on helping people obtain a GED. The new focus is on bridge up programs, bridge being in quotes. The new focus is on bridge programs, she said. Adult education is there to provide help to help people complete the steps to move to post-secondary education and ultimately employment. For some clients, that starts with a GED. For others, it's brushing up on skills, moving into basic work skills training, then more specific job training. The grants that pay for much of the adult education program in the nation have changed, and government requirements for those programs have changed too. The Education and Training Center will offer four bridge programs in the fall, which will be housed at the El Dorado Street location, certified nurse assistant, hospitality, manufacturing, and construction. The best way to define bridge is an 8-week program for people with a 4.0 fourth grade to 8.9. Oh, those are years. I see. Fourth grade to freshman high school reading level, 4.0 to 8.9, which I consider the front door to anybody walking into adult ed who maybe didn't finish high school, looking for a new pathway to employment, and who may have barriers, she said. All kinds of things can be barriers, from unreliable transportation or childcare to a student's health issues. Wilkerson said she and her staff get students connected to the services that can break down those barriers, and the classes offered can move a student from low skills to job ready if that student sticks with the classes and does his or her part. The Regional Office of Education's Millikan Academy Safe School will also move to the former Tech Academy this summer. There is also talk of moving Futures Unlimited to that building, though nothing is finalized. That building will be an alternative education center, and eventually all those programs will be there, and the regional office in Decatur will share space and use it for Decatur students and Macon and Piatt County students as well, just like in the past, said Regional Superintendent Matt Snyder. The regional office will remain where it is, he said. The GED test has become more difficult. Students must take it online, and the cost is considerably higher. Snyder said the goal used to be to get as many students into GED as possible, but so many fewer are actually passing the test that the focus there has shifted. Now, adult education serves fewer students but devotes more resources to those students. For the amount of money we're spending before, I don't think it was beneficial to spend that much on so few students passing, he said. They can utilize the money better in preparing students for work. End of the article. Shifting briefly to sports, the Illini, all about team time, it says. This is by Mark Tupper, he's the executive sports editor for the H&R. Grand Tool, the University of Illinois football team is proof that millennials can navigate through their day without interaction on social media. In fact, the Illini team is in the process of proving it can be social media free for 2 entire weeks. While in Rentoul for their annual 2-week training camp, there is no Wi-Fi service available in the dormitory style accommodations. For at least one Illini player, that's perfectly fine. I like it up here, defenseman lineman Dwayne Schmutz said. It's the atmosphere of being completely away from everything, including no social media. With no Wi-Fi, we don't even have a chance to see it. We still bring our phones to camp, but that's just to call your parents. The absence of Wi-Fi isn't a coaching staff conspiracy to eliminate internet or social media use as well at Camp Rentoul. No, it's just because we're in Rentoul, Bickman said. Beckman, who has praised the experience the community provides. That said, more than one camp veteran has referred to Rentoul and its minimal amenities as Rantucky. Smoot says he likes having all distractions removed during training camp. When I was a freshman, Coach Betchman said it would be just like an NFL training camp, and NFL training camp, said Smoot, the junior from Groves Park, Ohio. And that's kind of how it is. It's a chance to get away from everything, concentrate on football. We don't care what people are saying on social media because we don't know what people are saying on social media. Plus, up here, it's kind of fun to have people watching us. Although crowds early in training camp have been sparse, the practice sessions are open to the public. At the conclusion of each practice, young fans gather and collect autographs as players file off the field on their way to the makeshift locker room. Offensive lineman Teddy Karras said the fewer the distractions, the more work the team will get done. It's all about the team up here, Karras said, which is cool because we can get together and we can get to know each other more. It's kind of like Remember the Titans. Quarterback Wes Lunt sported a t-shirt that posed the following question: the pain of discipline or the pain of regret? Then under JC transition, while trying to build and balance his roster, Coach Tim Beckman has turned to junior colleges. Illinois has 7 junior college transfers joining the program this season, making the third straight season Beckman has brought in at least 6 JUCO transfers. Although many of these were highly rated junior college stars, there's generally an adjustment period before they can make an impact at Division I. It's a transition, and those of us who are coming in from junior college have to help each other with it, said senior wide receiver Geronimo Allison, who had had an up-and-down first season after transferring in from Iowa Western Community College. You think you have a lot of time, but you really don't. That first season goes by in a hurry, and all of a sudden, it's your final season. Allison said it was an important season for him, for his team, and the rest of his life. My lifelong goal is to get an opportunity to play in the NFL, he said. I want to be drafted, but if I can just get an opportunity to play in front of NFL people and showcase my talent, that would be a blessing. Almost to the end here. Battle on, says the little headline. Co-defensive coordinator Tim Banks says his best battle for a starting job is taking place at the star position, STAR. Is the abbreviation, which is a hybrid linebacker safety job, star position. It's between James Crawford and Eric Finney, Banks said. As for other battles Banks is watching, he said there's enough depth at cornerback to make starting jobs there uncertain. Listed as starting corners coming into training camp were Viangelo Bentley and Eaton Spence. But Darius Mosley started some games when Bentley got banged up, and that was one of our messages, Banks said. We told him we're going to play the guys who give us the best chance to win, and we don't care who that is. We have enough depth that guys shouldn't be comfortable, and I think that will bode well for us. Banks said he believes Carroll Phillips could push Dwayne Smoot from playing time at the LEO position, which is a linebacker defensive end hybrid. End of the Illini article. And now to Springfield. Federal funds frozen in squabble. Kurt Erickson for the Herald and Review, the Springfield Bureau Chief. Springfield, a plan to tap into billions of dollars in federal funding to help steer the state through its ongoing budget impasse, faces an uncertain future after Governor Bruce Rauner vowed Tuesday to veto the measure. A week after the Senate unanimously approved nearly $5 billion in federal funds, Democrats in the House added $1.5 billion to the latest budget bailout proposal, triggering a veto threat from the Republican governor. The argument over the latest budget fix comes in as the state is in the midst of its 7th week without a spending plan in place. During a lengthy hearing Tuesday, Republican lawmakers said the so-called poison pill additions would end up delaying funding for the program Democrats are trying to help. That's because the revamp measure would have to wait for at least a week for a vote in the Senate. Doesn't make sense to me to muddy the water, said State Representative Keith Wheeler, Republican from Oswego. All of a sudden, we're adding almost $600 million in general revenue funds. We don't even have a budget, said State Representative David Harris, Republican, Arlington Heights. Rauner said the additional money tacked on by the Democrats, which includes more than $585 million in state money, would result in an unbalanced budget He blames House Speaker Michael Madigan, Democrat Chicago, for playing politics with the measure. Governor Rauner has supported and continues to support a clean federal pass-through appropriations bill, Rauner spokesman Lance Drover said. Unfortunately, Speaker Madigan continues to play games with taxpayer money and is trying to force through higher state spending with no budget. Madigan spokesman Steve Brown said some state spending is required to match federal funding, along with the providing $480 million for child care programs that Rauner wants to reduce. Madigan's amendment adds money for disaster relief, breast and cervical cancer screening, funding for assistance to children with disabilities, and Meals on Wheels for homebound elderly residents. After examining the legislation passed by the Senate, which Governor Rauner expressed his support for, we were contacted about additional programs of vital importance to the health and well-being of families across Illinois, where the state and federal governments both provide funding. We believe funding for these programs, which can be delivered despite the lack of a state budget in place, is needed before the measure is sent to the governor, Madigan said. Republican State Representative C.D. Davidsmeyer of Jacksonville said the add-ons being pushed by the Democrats should be set aside for the time being. Don't you think it'd be better if we could just move forward on things we agree on, Davidsmeyer told his colleagues. The measure could come up for a vote in the full House today. The legislation is Senate Bill 2042. End of that article by the Springfield Bureau Chief. Okay, and this is Debbie closing out part one of the Wednesday, August 12, 2015 Herald and Review with this quick note from Meridian. New Meridian AD busy with construction. This is by Justin Kahn from the Herald and Review. Mike Bender has had several people congratulate him on becoming the new athletic director at Meridian. He told them, "I may need your condolences instead." When asked why he came out of retirement to take this job, he said, "I sometimes wonder that myself." Bender was athletic director at Meridian from 05 to 08, but when he came back to the position earlier this month, he stepped into a construction project that wasn't finished. A new football field was put in Meridian this summer, and upgrades were made on the baseball and softball fields as part of Phase 3 of district's construction project. But the sod wasn't laid on the football field till last week, so it'll be 2 weeks before it can even be stepped on, and another before a football game can be played on it. The Hawks are being forced to practice on the baseball and softball fields. It's kind of hectic right now. It's causing a lot of inconveniences, Bender said, but it's all going to be worth it in the end. Meridian principal Eric Hurlbrink said rain in May and June caused the delays. Bender said, "Well, the field is expected to be ready for Meridian's homecoming game in week four versus St. Teresa. Options were being explored for week two." Bender said Meridian has approached Milliken, where rental cost is an issue, and could also play the game at Bunker Hill, an hour and a half drive from Macon. "I'm an old school guy. I don't know Facebook or this Twitter thing," said Bender. "I'm used to pulling my finger in the dial, but that isn't there anymore. I'm glad my office is close to Eric's because I'm going to be asking a lot of questions." End of the article.